Back in January, at the start of our year, God began speaking a wonderful word to us. It's for everybody in the house, everybody connected to you and yours. God got his people together after they had wandered for 40 years in the wilderness. They were close to the border. They could see the promised land. God said a couple of things to them. He said, first of all, right here, right now, where you are, you've been blessed. You have lacked nothing these 40 years. And then our theme verse all year long is Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 11. The second thing God said right then is, but may the Lord God of your fathers bless you 1,000 times more, just as he promised. And we began to wonder and press into this blessing 1,000 times more blessed. What would your life look like if you, as blessed as you are already, were 1,000 times more blessed? And yet we see right here in God's word, it is a promise. What would your house feel like if you had 1,000 times more peace under your roof? 1,000 times more joy for you on the job? 1,000 times more of God's favor? 1,000 times more influence? 1,000 times greater quality of life all across the board. God gives life abundantly, and as blessed as you are right here, right now, his promise is that you be 1,000 times more blessed. Now today I'm talking about another aspect of the blessing of God each of us enjoy. I'm talking today about goodness and mercy. How good do you expect God to be to you? You know, based on his track record and his character, he's always been good. I'll go on record saying I fully expect God to be good to me. Not just good, but very good. That's who he is. God is good to you. His goodness and mercy. Today I want to talk about his mercy more than his goodness. But David expected God to be good to him. David in the 23rd Psalm said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So we're talking about goodness and mercy. Sometimes it's hard to distinguish between grace and mercy. They are first cousins. Where you see one, you see the other. But there is a little difference. Somebody said it like this. Grace is God giving me what I do not deserve. Mercy is God not giving me what I do deserve. God has been both gracious and merciful to me. Me receiving what I deserve would be justice and judgment, but God sparing me from what I deserve is mercy. And David, the psalmist, knew a lot about God's mercy. Just a few of the psalms scattered throughout 150 chapters of his book. David said, have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. Have you ever said that to the Lord? Have mercy. Have mercy. I know what it is to be in trouble. David said, have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am weak. Have mercy on me, O Lord, and be my helper. David said, great is your mercy toward me, O God. David said, God is abundant in mercy to all who call upon him. David said, mercy surrounds those whose trust is in the Lord. And David said, God's mercy is from everlasting to everlasting, and his mercy endures forever. That's the mercy of God. And I'm glad he's been merciful to me. I have never gone to God and said, God, I want you to give me what I deserve. Oh, You are crazy. Never. No, I've always gone to God and said, God, thank you for sparing me what I deserve and for giving me mercy instead of justice. The good news for every believer who has solid faith in Christ is we have been spared judgment. And the punishment we deserve for the sin we have committed, we've escaped that too. Jesus took it all on himself. On the cross, he took the penalty for every sin all of us collectively will ever commit. That's mercy. My goodness, he's been so gracious and he's been so merciful. Now, we all make mistakes, and here's where God's mercy is good news, such good news. We're all guilty. Sometimes we do dumb things. Sometimes we realize we've done a dumb thing, we've made a stupid mistake, and we can honestly say, it's all my fault. Even when we own it and take responsibility for our dumbness, the mercy of God meets us right there and carries us. It covers us. God continues to bless us. God does not throw it away or throw us away, even when we do dumb things. Even when we make mistakes, mercy shows up and cleans up the mess. Has he ever done that for you? I cannot count the times. That's when mercy kicks in. Mercy is not mercy if the person receiving it deserves it. No, mercy is only mercy when the person receiving it does not deserve mercy. That's the beauty of God's goodness and mercy. Oh, I've done so many dumb things. One time right here in Florence, our beautiful city, I was driving a little too fast. I was going more than 20 miles over, and I wasn't even aware of it. It was a school zone, too. I didn't notice the school over there. So I was just going right along, and a blue light started turning behind me, and I pulled over. My heart started racing because I'm knowing I'm guilty now. So the officer, this was years ago, the officer comes up to the window and says, license, registration. Okay. He said, Mr. Morris, do you know what you were doing wrong? I said, I was speeding. He said, give me a minute. And how many of you are praying? At a time like that, your prayer language comes in handy. So he was back there in his car, and I'm looking in the rear view, thinking, well, is this going to be a warning or a fine? And he comes back to my window, and he gives me a ticket, and it's a fine. I got to pay money for this. My dumbness, how stupid, speeding that much in a school zone in the middle of the day. I felt awful. I felt about that little. You know, if you have come in here this morning feeling about this little for something stupid you've done lately, you're at the right place because God's mercy is in the house and he's going to deliver you. It endures forever. So this cop gives me a ticket and a fine, and he says to me, Mr. Morris, here's your ticket, here's your fine. You can mail it in to this address before this date, or if you want to contest this ticket, here is your court date. Certain day, certain time, you can be in court that day and defend yourself. And I said to this officer, Officer, you're doing a wonderful job. I'm grateful you're doing such a good job. But I'm not going to go to court that day and defend myself. I'm guilty, and I know it. I'm going to mail my fine in to that address right there. I'm not going to court. I'm guilty, and I know it. I'll pay my fine. So I mailed in my money to pay my fine before the deadline, and I forgot all about it. And several weeks later, I got a letter in the mail from the judge at the court that day. And the letter, I did not know this until I had to find out, but one member of our church was in that courtroom that day. I was not, but obviously protocol is they called my name. And if I'm there, I can come up and defend myself. And they called my name. And some member of this church who was in the courtroom that day asked the judge, "Your Honor, may I approach the bench?" And she went up to the judge and said, "That's my pastor, and he's not in court today. But since he's not here, I would like to simply say on his behalf that that man does believe in keeping the law, and I'm sure it was an accident, and he's not here to do it for himself, but may I beg for leniency for him?" And I got a letter in the mail from the judge that said, "Dear Mr. Morris, you have been tried in your absence, and you have been found not guilty. Here's your money back." Now that's mercy. I swear I still have the letter. I'll keep it till I die. What a wonderful way for a letter to begin. From a judge. "You have been tried in your absence, and you have been found not guilty." That's what mercy does. Yeah, I made a mess. But even when we make mistakes, mercy shows up and cleans up our mess. That's mercy. Even when I make a dumb mistake, mercy is there. The Bible says that mercy rejoices against judgment. You cannot ever have both mercy and judgment. Oh no, you'll get one or the other. I'm all for mercy, and I'm grateful to be spared judgment. Now, if it were not for the mercy of God, none of us would be here today. None of us would even be alive. If it were not for God's mercy covering us, somebody this morning on the way to church walking across the parking lot would have been struck in the head by a meteorite that even the scientists didn't see coming from out of space and knock you on the head and kill you right quick. But God's mercy. Well, I mean, it could happen. Who's up there laughing about that? It could happen. I'm saying it ain't gonna, but it's possible. Scientists didn't even know about that one. They knew about the stars lining up and the moon and the sun and the eclipse and all that, but they didn't even know about that little meteorite. But God spared us. We are blessed and benefactors of His mercy. Brenda and I have family in Austin, Texas, and we love to go there. It's a great city. Some of the most precious things in the world to us live in Austin. And one time we were there, maybe 2 or 3 years ago, Brenda and I, and it was our last night staying with Rex and Brandy and our two grand boys at the time. And we were asleep in bed, knowing that in the morning we're getting up early, driving to the airport, and flying back home after a few days with our children and grandchildren there. And it rained. It came out of nowhere. The weatherman didn't predict it, but it stormed. It sounded like lightning striking the window at the head of our bed. We got little sleep. I mean, it was a torrential, well, not quite as bad as what Houston just saw yesterday, thankfully. But anybody in here named Harvey? If so, Hurricane Harvey is up to no good out there, but it was a lot of rain that night and thunderstorms and a restless night. We got up the next morning. The rain had stopped. Brenda and I got in the rental car to drive to the airport to fly home and was listening to the local news on the radio there on our way to the airport. After that, and we found out rain, it had been 14 inches of rain overnight. 14 inches. And flooding in certain parts, and one person was killed in the rain in Austin. We're listening to this on the radio, and it said this: a cow was found dead in a tree. I mean, I know it wasn't funny to the owner of the cow. You farmers, my apology, but a cow found dead in a tree. And I thought, only in Texas. This happens only. Texas is so big. How many times? I mean, I would have been that cow in that tree. I'd have been a dead cow in a tree. So many times in my life, God has spared my life, even against all odds at times. Almost drowned in the ocean when I was 13 years old. I lost consciousness and gave up to die by drowning. Didn't remember a thing until an hour or so later, I came back to consciousness. And they told me the story. A Coast Guard ship just happened to come by, way out in, halfway to France, probably by then. I mean, I just couldn't help it. It was an undercurrent, took me way out there. And a Coast Guard ship just happened to come by at the right time and see me out there and brought me out. God, in His mercy, so many times, has grabbed me by the back of the neck and snatched me out of danger just in the nick of time. That's how good God is. He's good and He is merciful. I'll close with the story of Jonah. He was, of course, called to Nineveh, a great city. But he rebelled against God's calling on his life and he ran in the opposite direction. You know the story well. He got on a ship and headed in the other direction, opposite of what God had instructed him to do. And God caused a storm to come up at sea. And the boat was about to go over. And so the men on the board of the ship started throwing their possessions overboard, thinking maybe this will help us survive being tossed back and forth on the ocean right now. Finally, when that didn't work and the storm was still tossing the boat, Jonah spoke up and did a brave thing. He said, "I'm the problem. God told me to go somewhere else, and I disobeyed Him. Instead of doing what God said, I got on this boat here going in the opposite direction. I'm the problem. If you throw me overboard, you'll be saved." That was pretty brave. If you're running from God, in fact, if you're going the opposite way right now, you can still be brave on it. That'll be the beginning of your salvation right there. So they threw Jonah overboard, but God was still observing it all. The Bible said God prepared a big fish. I don't know what that means. God probably didn't let that fish find anything to eat for 3 or 4 days. That fish's belly was growling. That fish would eat anything by now, and nothing out there in the deep ocean to eat except, oh, here's Jonah. So the fish swallowed Jonah whole. By the way, that's scientifically possible. It is possible. Science says recorded that happening to another man, and he survived. So Jonah's in the belly of this big fish, but he hears God speak. And God said to Jonah, "You can run the other way all you want to, but you cannot outrun my mercy. I'm not through with it." And the Bible says, in the belly of the fish, Jonah prayed. And God heard his prayer. Now, God did not say when he rebelled to Jonah, "Jonah, I'm through with you. You're no good for nothing. I don't have to use you. I can get somebody else to go to Nineveh. I can do that because I'm God. So you don't deserve any more of my goodness. I'm going to leave you in the belly of the whale. You're going to die right there." But no, God did not put Jonah on the sidelines. In Jonah chapter 3 and verse 1, the story turns around on this dime right here. When the Bible says in Jonah 3:1, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time." How many of you have ever heard the word of the Lord and ran in the opposite direction? If you have, I'm sure the next chapter in the book of your life story begins with, and the word of the Lord came to Carl the second time. We listen more closely the second time, don't we? That's God's mercy. Speaking to us the second time when we blew the first time. And the Bible simply says, the second time God spoke to Jonah and said, arise and go. And the very next words said, so Jonah arose and went. How good is that? When the Lord in his mercy gives you a second chance, when he says arise and go, you will arise and went. That's it right there. I thought it was great in the rhythm of the scripture there. And that one verse said, and God spoke to Jonah and said, arise and go. So Jonah arose and went. God makes it simple sometimes. It may take twice, but God in his mercy simplifies his instructions for us and makes it easier for us to obey him when the word of the Lord comes to us the second time. Mercy turns a mistake into a miracle. How many times has he done that in your life? Take audit of your own life story. How many times the word of the Lord came to you and you resisted or rebelled or ran in the opposite direction, got yourself in a little bit of trouble, and remembered that David said, oh, Lord, have mercy on me, for I am in trouble. And you prayed, God, this is a good time for you to grab me by the back of the neck and snatch me out of this danger. Please do it just in the nick of time. The second time. Don't waste your second chances. What are you doing with your second chance? And all of us are at least on chance number two right now. We will hear the word of the Lord. If he says arise and go, you know what we're doing? We're arising and going. That's what we're doing. It's not too late, Jonah learned this, to become who God created you to be, even after some mistakes, even your own fault and your own dumb mistakes. His mercy turns a mistake into a miracle. He doesn't throw you away. He continues to use you. Now, if you think you've blown it so badly and God has gotten over you and his plan now excludes you, and he has no further use for you, if that's what you think, let me reintroduce you to the mercy of God. You have not blown it so badly that he will throw you away. Look at some of the people God has used. Noah was a drunk. Abraham was too old. Jacob was a liar. Martha worried about everything. Moses stuttered, couldn't speak clearly. Gideon was afraid. Samson had a woman problem. Rahab was a prostitute. Timothy was too young, he thought. David was an adulterer and a murderer. Job went bankrupt. Peter denied the Lord, and Lazarus was dead. And yet God did not give up on any of them. He grabbed them by the back of the neck and snatched them out of trouble. And all of them discovered that it's not too late to become what God has called you to be. With justice no longer in the way. Imagine that. Hear those words. With justice no longer in the way. Mercy came running like a prisoner set free past all my failures to the point of my need. When the sin that I carried was all I could see, when I could not reach mercy, mercy came running to me. That's what mercy does. And justice is no longer in the way. Will you help me with the benediction? Will you help me with a benediction? I need your help. This will be great. Stand if you will. Everybody repeat after me. His mercy endures forever.
His mercy endures forever.
You believe it?
Amen.
I want you to say that with me. His mercy endures forever 26 times. Are you ready? Now say it like you mean it. Say it like it's the truth. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy. Oh, give thanks to the God of gods, for oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for to Him who alone does great wonders, for His mercy endures forever. To Him who by wisdom made the heavens, for His mercy to Him who laid out the earth above the waters,
for His mercy endures
to Him who made great lights,
for His mercy endures
the sun to rule by day, the moon and stars to rule by night.
For His mercy endures forever.
To Him who struck Egypt in their firstborn,
for His mercy endures
and brought out Israel from among them,
for His mercy endures
with a strong hand and with an outstretched arm.
For His mercy endures
to Him who divided the Red Sea in two,
for His mercy endures
and made Israel pass through the midst of it. Are y'all tired of talking about His mercy? Oh, good. I'm glad. Never get tired of it. But overthrew Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea.
For His mercy endures
to Him who led His people through the wilderness.
For His mercy endures
to Him who struck down great kings.
For His mercy endures
and slew famous kings.
For His mercy endures
Sihon, king of the Amorites.
For
and Gog, king of Bashan,
for His mercy endures forever.
And gave their land as a heritage,
for His mercy endures
forever. A heritage to Israel, His servant,
for His mercy endures forever.
Who remembered us in our lowly state,
for His mercy endures forever.
And rescued us from our enemies,
for His mercy endures forever.
Who gives food to all flesh. And read it all together with me. Oh, give thanks to the God of heaven, for His mercy endures forever. Nobody move, just for 30 seconds. Bow your head. Father, thank You for the word of the Lord. We hear it's like a lifeline. We're more alive now than we were when we came into this place today. Our faith is higher than it was even just an hour ago because we have heard the word of God, and we thank You for Your mercy. Thank You for speaking second chances. The word of the Lord coming the second time to some who are here today. We hear the word of the Lord and we obey. We celebrate the goodness of God, Your goodness and Your mercy toward Your people. In Jesus' name, and everyone said amen.
Amen.
At this time, we're dismissing. I'm going to call everybody related to me.